Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building a Think Break switch-up in Ableton Live 12, and this is one of those arrangement moves that can instantly make a drum and bass tune feel more alive, more intentional, and a lot more dangerous. The idea is simple. You've got a strong main drop groove. Then, instead of looping it flat, you let the track briefly pivot into a break-led phrase, a bass modulation shift, or a hybrid of both. After that, the groove comes back harder because the contrast has done its job. That's the whole game here. In D&B, momentum matters, but repetition alone gets stale fast. A good switch-up lives right in the space between repetition and escalation. It gives the listener a reset point without killing the pressure. It also keeps the track DJ-friendly, because the phrasing stays clear and readable. The fastest way to approach this is to think in 16 bars. Build the shape first. Bars 1 to 8 are your main groove. Bars 9 to 12 are the think break switch-up. Bars 13 to 16 are the return, either cleaner, harder, or slightly evolved. Don't start by over-designing sounds. Start with the arrangement shape. That's what makes this move feel musical instead of random. If you already have a working 8-bar loop, duplicate it and reserve the next 4 bars for the switch-up. Keep the setup simple. 1 drum boss, 1 sub and bass boss, 1 mid bass layer, 1 break track, 1 effects track. That's enough. The point is to arrange contrast around a groove that already works. Now, before the switch-up can hit, the main groove needs to be stable. Kick and snare should feel locked. Hats and rides should push forward. The sub should stay consistent and not get too busy. The mid-bass can move, but the low end has to stay readable. A really common stock device chain on the bass bus is utility for gain and mono control, then saturator for some controlled drive, then EQ8 to clean up mud, and maybe compressor if the envelope is too uneven. You don't need to overthink that. Just make sure the kick and sub are leaving each other enough room, and that the main loop already feels solid enough to survive a temporary change. What to listen for here is whether the groove already has enough backbone. If the loop is crowded, the switch-up won't feel exciting. It'll just feel messy. And in D&B, messy is rarely heavy. Usually it's just unclear. Now comes the creative decision. Do you want the switch-up to lean break-led or bass-led? If you go break-led, you bring in chopped breaks, ghost snares, little jungle-style edits, and more human swing. That's perfect if you want rawness, movement, and that classic D&B energy. If you go bass-led, you keep the drums more stable and let the bass tone, rhythm, or octave contour do the pivot. That feels more surgical and modern. It's great for neuro, techie rollers, and darker club tunes. Most of the time, the strongest version is a combination of both. A break-led top layer sitting over restrained bass modulation can sound huge, because the drums create motion, while the bass stays disciplined underneath. So let's build the break lane. Put a break sample, or a sliced break, onto a new audio track. If it's a loop, slice it to MIDI or chop it manually so you can rearrange hits. You want the phrase to feel like a question mark, not a copy of the main groove. Keep the low end controlled. I pass the break if needed so it stays out of the subzone. Let ghost notes and little snare doubles appear between the main hits. Shift one or two notes slightly early or late if you want a human push-pull. That tiny timing move can make the whole thing breathe. A solid chain on the break track might be EQ8, then drum bus for punch and grit, then compressor if the peaks are too wild, and utility if the stereo width needs tightening. What to listen for is whether the break adds urgency without shrinking the drop. The switch-up should feel like the track opened up, not like it lost weight. Now, in bars 9 to 12, make the phrase feel like it's actually thinking. That means something should drop away, or at least get thinner. Maybe the bass disappears for half a bar. Maybe the snare phrasing changes. Maybe a stab or lead gets removed so the rhythm can breathe. A strong switch-up usually reduces one thing while featuring another. For example, bar 9 can bring in the break over a reduced bass pattern. Bar 10 can give the bass a reply with fewer notes and more space. Bar 11 can raise the tension with a fill or pickup. Bar 12 can use a short stop, a downlifter, or a clean negative space moment to set up the return. That's the think part. The groove sounds like it's reconsidering itself before snapping back. And that is exactly why this works in D&B. The audience doesn't just hear a new sound. They hear a change in function. The track stops behaving like a loop and starts behaving like a statement. A really important tip here is to automate the character of the bass, not just the filter cutoff. A lot of people reach for a sweep and call it done. But in D&B, timbre change often reads as arrangement change. Try automating saturator drive a little higher during the switch-up, then easing it back for the return, or automate a small EQ shift, maybe a low mid dip if the bass and break are crowding each other, or use auto filter on the mid bass layer so the tone opens up or narrows in a controlled way. Keep the sub mono, always. Let the upper bass move if you want, but don't smear the foundation. What to listen for is whether the bass feels different in attitude, not just in frequency balance. If the character changes, the listener feels the section change much more strongly. Now let's talk drums. You want a fill, but it has to sound like drum and bass, not a generic drum roll pasted on top. The fill should point toward the next phrase, not steal the spotlight. A break-led fill can use chopped break fragments, ghost snare movement, and a small kick pickup that works brilliantly in jungle-influenced or darker roller material. A programmed fill can use snare hits, toms, or a percussion stab if you want something tighter and more modern. Either way, keep it in a separate clip or separate track so you can adjust it without wrecking the main loop. If the fill clashes with the snare, move it a few milliseconds rather than forcing it onto the grid. Tiny timing changes matter. That's where the groove gets its authority. Another thing that really helps is one clear transition event. Don't stack a reverse crash, a snare roll, and a riser all at once unless you truly need that much energy. Usually one focal point is stronger. A single reverse texture, a short mute, or a clean downlifter will make the return hit harder because the ear has something to lock onto. This is a good moment to remind yourself. Less activity, more contrast. In D&B, activity is cheap. Contrast is valuable. If the movement starts to get messy, commit it to audio. Print the break and bass switch up. If the automation is sounding best in one exact pass or if the MIDI editing is getting too fussy, once it's audio, you can trim transients, reverse little fragments, place impacts more precisely, and tighten the tail so the return lands harder. A good workflow is to duplicate the printed version before you start cutting into it. Keep one safe copy and one version you can be more aggressive with. That gives you options later. Now bring the whole section back in and judge it in context. Don't solo the break and decide it sounds amazing. Listen with kick, snare, sub, and main bass all playing. Ask yourself a few simple questions. Does the switch-up still feel like the same track? Can the return bar hit harder than the switch-up itself? Does the low end stay focused in mono? That last one is big. If the break is too wide and the low end starts smearing, narrow it with utility or soften the high-end conflict with EQ. Keep the sub centered. Club systems reward controlled low-end, not wide low-end chaos. Wide highs are fine. Wide fundamentals usually aren't. What to listen for at this stage is whether the groove feels like it paused to think, turned a corner, and then came back with more intent. If the switch-up sounds impressive but the return no longer feels bigger, scale it back. The return has to win. A few extra moves can make this even stronger. A half-step reset, where the drums open up for a bar or two before driving again, can make the section feel heavier without making it busier. A break-led top over a steady sub is especially effective in rollers because the floor stays locked while the surface gets more alive. You can also do a bass answer phrase, where the bass doesn't drop out completely but responds in shorter calls with more empty space. That conversation between drums and bass feels very D&B. And if you're working on darker material, let the break carry menace, not clutter. A chopped break with controlled ghost notes is often more dangerous than a hyperactive fill. You can also use tonal contrast, not just rhythmic contrast. A small shift in the midrange, a more hollow tone, a bit more nasal distortion, or a narrow presence boost can make a switch-up feel much darker than a huge sweep ever would. A powerful rule here is this: keep the sub obedient while the top gets unstable. That's the underground feel. Controlled chaos above, pressure below. That balance is what makes the switch-up feel premium. So here's your practical target. Build a 16-bar drop with a stable 8-bar main groove, a 4-bar think break switch-up, and a 4-bar return. Use only the stock tools if you want to keep it clean. Keep the sub mono. Give yourself no more than 2 automation lanes per main instrument bus. Make at least 1 bar contain real negative space. And if the return doesn't feel stronger than the switch-up, simplify before you add more. For a quick practice run, make a 4-bar version first. 2 bars of reduced groove, 1 bar of break-led switch-up, 1 bar of re-entry setup. That's enough to teach your ear what the arrangement is doing. Build it fast, then a slash B it ruthlessly. Toggle the break on and off. Toggle the bass modulation on and off. If both versions feel almost the same, the phrase still needs clearer contrast. And if you want one final check, listen quietly. If the switch-up only feels interesting when it's loud, you're probably relying on clutter instead of arrangement shape. At lower volume, the key moments should still be obvious. You should hear where the main groove pauses, where the break takes over, and where the return lands. That's the essence of a think break switch up. Stable groove, intentional disruption, controlled return. It's not about adding more parts. It's about making the track feel like it moved somewhere meaningful and came back stronger. Build the contrast. Protect the low end. Keep the phrasing clear. And when it works, the drop doesn't just loop. It evolves. Now go try the exercise. Build that 4-bar switch up first, then expand it into the full 16-bar arrangement. Keep it tight. Keep it functional, and make the return hit like it means it.